It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every single game. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. It's guaranteed. That's $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks, all on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. What are you waiting for? Visit FanDuel.com/Stewart and make your first bet an automatic win. FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
From free agency to the NFL draft, the Sunday Football Show with Bob Soucy and Ted Johnson will keep you covered. 98.5, The Sports Hub.
Welcome back. Hour two of the Sunday Football Show. Coming up in a short while, we will hear from former NFL agent and executive salary cap expert Andrew Brent from the MMQB and SI.com. will join us, and we're going to talk about some of the financials around the league now, of course, with the salary cap lower, but yet on the horizon, a big television deal and increased revenues with a 17th game. We're going to delve into some of the financials a bit later, collectively for the league, Ted, but individually, in the first hour, we talked with Phil Perry a little bit about the Cam Newton contract. The Patriots didn't just sign Cam Newton this week. They signed Justin Bethel. Didn't elicit a lot of excitement around here, but nonetheless, that's a piece for their special teams. With his three-year deal that complements Matthew Slater, perhaps in his final season as a Patriot coming up, to continue to field one of the best, if not the best, special teams units in the league. They've reworked the Trent Brown deal after trading for him from the Oakland Raiders, or rather the Las Vegas Raiders, I'm sorry. So they're starting to put some pieces in place as part of this plan moving forward, and they still have so much room with which to work when it comes to the salary cap.
Yeah, and you and some other things that you mentioned in your email, Bob, besides besides signing Cam Newton, besides trading for Trent Brown, besides signing Justin Bethel, the Patriots also did not franchise tag Joe Tooney, so they have not tagged anyone on the team, and they have yet to, I believe, put a first or second round tender on J.C. Jackson, who is a restricted free agent. So those are two other, I think, items of note when it comes to what the Patriots did as far as the salary cap this week. Justin Bethel and Matthew Slater, from what I'm told, they are both kind of looked at. Obviously, Matthew Slater is, 8-9 year Pro Bowler, a more decorated player maybe than Justin Bethel, but is kind of looked at through the eyes of Bill Belichick as similar type players where he really values what they bring to the table. And Bill always has been that way ever since I've known him. Going way back, I would say the guy that he really anointed as kind of the leader of the special teams was Larry Izzo. Larry Izzo, who's now, I think he's on the coaching staff for the Seattle Seahawks, had a long career as considered one of the best special teamers in the league. I think he played almost 14 years doing special teams. And so obviously we all know Bill values that. And so that was what the Justin Bethel signing was, is just keeping him. And I'll be honest with you, Matthew Slater, I believe, is going into his 13th year. You know, I know it's like a handful of plays every game that he plays, but regardless, when he's out there playing, you always notice Matthew Slater. He's just very skilled at what he does, and Bill sees a lot of value in that.
Yeah, but again, it's a position that you don't care about generally in March as a fan, perhaps. But you care about it when you see a breakdown on special teams and the games that matter most late in the season. And if you get there in the postseason, you mentioned the J.C. Jackson decision coming up. First round tender carries with it $4.77 million thereabouts. Second round, a bit less, $3.4 thereabouts. Of course, you put yourself in position if another team signs him to get a pick in the first round. If you put a first-round tender on him, that's unlikely. But do you think the Patriots are confident enough that they could put a second-round tender on J.C. Jackson? Mike Reese wrote about it in his Quick Hit Thoughts today. Mm-hmm. J.C. Jackson, a guy with a lot of plays, interceptions, passes broken up, Bill Belichick's talked about his ball skills being really exceptional, particularly for a player who was undrafted. But is he a number one caliber cornerback in this league? The kind of cornerback who could supplant Stephon Gilmore if the Patriots move him or he goes on after this year, should he remain a Pat for 2021?
That's the question, Bob. Is he that kind of elite shutdown corner, like in the same vein as Stephon Gilmore? I believe he's not. I think he's just below that. I think he's a bigger guy. I think is tough and is aggressive, and he's just a smart player. That jumps out at you. I feel like to get the elite kind of money that top ranked quarterbacks get, I don't think he's going to be there, because I think when I look at him at times, and I forget which game he had a game, Stephon Gilmore was out because of it was a COVID or an injury middle of the season.
It was the Jets game
where they had his number pretty good, right? Right. Okay. So thank you. It was Joe Flacco in the Jets.
He wound up with a big interception on a bad decision by Flacco, yep. But throughout the game, Breshad Perriman in particular was very destructive effective. To the Patriots and effective for the Jets.
So, that game is just, I think, was kind of a reminder to me that he's a damn good player, and considering where he got drafted, he didn't get drafted. He was an undrafted player. To come in and have the impact is so damn impressive. But I don't think he's at that level of where Stephon Gilmore is. So to me, he's a very good number two, not a number one type cornerback in this league.
And so that's likely how other teams view him.
So I see a second round tender before I see a first round tender on him, Bob.
David Andrews, a lot of people believe, including Phil Perry and yours truly, it should be a priority of the Patriots to keep him in the fold. We're going to talk a bit later on about what other teams in this division are doing. More so when it comes to the Dolphins and the Bills. But you have to think that the Dolphins, who had Ted Karras on a one-year contract last year, would have some interest in David Andrews. How competitive will the market be for Andrews? We've seen a couple of centers in the last few weeks either rework their deals, Jason Kelce in Philadelphia, or sign with a new team, as Britt did with the Seahawks.
I think David Andrews
the former Seahawk with the Texans.
Yeah, I think David Andrews is a great – I think he's a great player for this team. I think he's a type of Patriots player that Bill Belichick covets. He was undrafted, he's turned into one of the better centers in the league. I think he's the anchor for what I think Bill is starting to see maybe as the most important unit of a football team. I've always thought the offensive line is the most important. Their style and their effectiveness, it permeates throughout an entire team. And let's face it, he's put together some really good offensive lines, the Patriots have, over the last few years. And I think David Andrews, they can probably, unless the Dolphins, and I wouldn't be surprised if Brian Flores makes a run at him, they just might make it so that the Patriots aren't comfortable giving him the money that I think maybe the Dolphins are willing to give him. What the Patriots have in their favor when it comes to David Andrews is the fact that he was undrafted. And that always, right or wrongly, affects a player's second contract. He is not, even though he can play at an all-pro level and a Pro Bowl level, the fact that he was undrafted, I think the market will reflect that in his second contract. So I don't know how many teams are going to go throw tons of money at him. Maybe you can get him for $6 to $8 million per year. But if the Dolphins come in and, blow it away with, $10 to $12 million a year, then I believe David Andrews is like, I'm going to take the money and run. My feeling is undrafted free agents, though, that were given opportunities by Bill Belichick, feel a sense of loyalty and will take a deal maybe that's a little bit less, but it can't be a huge discrepancy. And so the Patriots got to make a competitive offer with what I think the Dolphins are going to give them. And so if they want to have David Andrews back.
And Andrews, as we've talked about on the program and heard from his recent appearance on Tom Curran's Pat's Talk podcast, he's made it clear. He likes being in New England. He loves living in New England, though he's the son of Georgia. So he's put it out there publicly that he certainly appreciates that opportunity he got from this organization as an undrafted player. And we know the Patriots certainly appreciate what he's brought to the team, even when he was injured out of the lineup for an entire season a couple of years ago because of the blood clots.
And real quick, the guys that played center when David Andrews wasn't available, I believe it was James Ferentz, maybe Teddy Karras. Teddy Karras, when he was on IR, who's who's now playing for the was playing for the Dolphins last year. And then Joe Tooney, who filled in for him last year, and we all think Joe Tooney is going to move on. So it's not like if they don't sign him, it's not like they have a guy, I think, in-house right now that can step in and play that position.
All right, we'll take a break. We'll come back and talk economics, salary cap, and more with Andrew Brandt right after this on the Sunday Football Show.
Playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every game. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. That's $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. What are you waiting for? Visit FanDuel.com/Fred and make your first bet an automatic win. FanDuel, America's number one sports book.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued is non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
Insight from NFL insiders, local and national. It's the Sunday Football Show on 98.5, The Sports Hub.
All right, welcome back into the Sunday Football Show. I'm Ted Johnson, of course, with the voice of the Patriots, Bob Soucy, alongside, and I'm really excited to welcome in a friend of mine, Andrew Brandt. Andrew Brandt is the executive director of the Morad Center for the Sports Law at Villanova University, columnist for the MMQB.com, and then, of course, the host of The Business of Sports with Andrew Brandt. Andrew and I, we go back many, many years ago when Andrew was an agent here in Boston over 20 years ago, and he's kind enough to join us this morning to talk about just the business of sports. Andrew, it's Ted and Bob. How you doing, sir?
Good morning, you guys.
Good morning, buddy. We appreciate your time this morning, Andrew. And I was thinking about what I wanted to ask you early this morning, Andrew. And I thought, you know, I want to ask Andrew, with all these, kind of contracts for quarterbacks that you're seeing, the Dak Prescott one and Deshaun Watson, all of these big contracts that you're seeing recently, Andrew. And I was wondering if you ever thought, when you were started in the business probably, at least 30 years ago, if you'd ever would think that the quarterback market would be like it is today, where quarterbacks are taking up anywhere from 15 to 20% of the cap space in today's salary cap. And do you think the market for quarterbacks is right where it needs to be? Or do you think it's heavily overinflated right now in today's NFL?
Yeah, well, a lot to unpack here. I mean, you're talking to the guy who gave out the first $100 million contract to a quarterback, and that was Brett Favre, and that was, 20 years ago today, or this week. 2001, 10-year, $100 million deal with Brett. So at that point, you have a cap, I believe, of like 50-something million dollars, and Brett had a $10 million average. Now you have a cap of three times that and maybe four times that in a good year, and you have quarterbacks making $30 to $40 million. So it's about right. I just want to say this. I really think it's a cop-out for teams and their fans to make any kind of comment like, yeah, we can't really contend for a Super Bowl because we're paying our quarterback $30 million. I mean, if you think about the cap, it's never been easier to manage because of this. The rookie wage scale locks players in for 4 years at a really fixed and reasonable number. So you figure a team brings on 7 to 10 players a year over 4 years, those contracts. So probably 30 to 40 players on every team. are in rookie contracts. So take a conservative estimate of $1 million for each. You probably have 30 to 40 million of your team for over half your team. So now you got 160 million or whatever it is to pay the other half of your team. And what gets teams in trouble is not paying quarterbacks $30 to $40 million. What gets teams in trouble is all the other stuff that's not for your active roster. And that could be with active players that you've restructured and their salary's $20 million, but their cap is like $30 million. Or that could be dead money of players that are no longer there that you've made bad contract decisions that you've gotten out of. But paying the quarterback is one of the least of the worries in managing the cap.
Andrew, we're at a point right now where there's this intersection of this season, the cap coming down, but on the horizon, a 17-game season as well, increased revenues with the new television and streaming rights. You've been writing about some of the misconceptions that people have. The teams are not scrambling. They've known what's coming as agents and executives and the Players Association. Looking ahead, though, how does this season, as it intersects with next year, how does that change things for teams with their approach, what we're going to start to see with the structures of these deals coming up in free agency?
Well, I think a lot of, you know, people rationalize cap restructures, pushing out the problem in future years in this kind of easy way, which is, oh, yeah, the big TV deals, it's going to go up, no problem pushing money out. And, yeah, you can always rationalize that. I mean, as a fan can, a team can. But I always maintain teams with advantageous cap situations are going to be in a better competitive situation than teams that are not. Yes, we have a reduced cap this year. Yes, we have teams scrambling to get under the cap. But we have half the league that's not scrambling. And we have half the league that's not trying to do restructures to get under the cap. And I maintain they're in a better position competitively. Yeah, and as you said, it's not like these teams are waking up in February and saying, oh, my God, we've got to reduce cap. We've known about this since July. It's higher than they even predicted in July. We're talking about $175 million. And teams prepare 8 months for the draft. Why wouldn't they prepare 8 months for the cap? So the corollary to that is I think a lot of these players being released, Kyle Van Noy, all these other names, I don't think it's really the cap. I really don't. I just think they get released every year, as you know, Ted, this time of year, cap or no cap. Mm-hmm. You know, these players are just shed out into the market.
Yeah, it's. I just feel like it's a convenient excuse for teams to justify letting these players go. I totally agree with you, Andrew. Of course, Andrew Brandt, kind enough to join us, a host of the Business of Sports with Andrew Brandt podcast. I want to continue with the quarterback talk, Andrew, and specifically talk about kind of a dynamic that seems to be propping up recently. When you look at Deshaun Watson there with the Texans, Russell Wilson with the Seahawks, you know, they kind of get locked into these big deals. You know, they sign these big contracts and get all this guaranteed money, and then I feel like they start to kind of use their power and use their leverage to maybe want more input with their personnel and other things in their franchises. And I look at the Dak Prescott deal that was done this week with the Cowboys, and I mean it's crazy, the numbers. I mean, his 2021 earnings are going to be $75 million. Just he's going to make in 1 year. It's crazy. It's a 4-year deal, but there's two things, Andrew, specifically that he negotiated in this contract that I could see a lot of quarterbacks negotiating, in that he negotiated a no trade clause, just like Russell Wilson did. And I believe just like Deshaun Watson did. And then Tom Brady before that with the Patriots did, but he also negotiated a no franchise tag. And I feel like big money plus no trade clause and, you know, no franchise tag equals huge amounts of leverage for a player. Are you surprised that the teams are agreeing to putting in those clauses when it comes to signing these young and sometimes, in the case of Dak Prescott, unproven quarterbacks?
Yeah, I mean, it's a lot there. I think let's just stay with Prescott. He had extraordinary leverage, and he used it well. you know, everyone asks me these questions right after a contract, who won, who lost, and I always say, God, come on, let's wait a few years. But on this one, he won. He won against Jerry Jones, one of the negotiators that the league sends out to deal with TV contracts. So I'm like, wow. Yeah, as you mentioned, set new records in first-year money, three-year money. Three-year money, by the way, $126 million. Patrick Mahomes' first 3 years, $63 million. He doubled it.
Wow.
He doubled it. And he set records on four-year money and no tag and all that stuff. And the best thing that you mentioned is he's going to be a free agent again at age 31 with no tag. I mean, that means the Cowboys will be over a barrel again and probably overpay him in 3 years. I haven't seen a deal like that. I mentioned the Mahomes deal. It's 12 years. It locks him up. It's early money is very low. Deshaun Watson did a nice deal. Obviously, he didn't want the Mahomes long term. Nobody wants that from a player side. And Deshaun wants out, but guess what? Doing that deal made him much harder to trade. If he had waited, like Prescott, he would have been a lot easier to trade. No, taking even away the idea that they want to trade their best player. So we'll see. You know, I've maintained that Deshaun Watson's not going anywhere because teams are just not stupid. Now the Seahawks have not come out and said he's not going anywhere like the Texans have. But again, you get strip all that away. Like, what's the value for players like that to get back? If I'm the Seahawks or the Texans, I don't want picks. Who cares about picks? Five number one draft picks? I don't know. I mean, they're never going to equal the value of Deshaun Watson or Russell Wilson. So what can you offer me to have any enticement for those players? To me, there's no equal value you can get back.
Andrew, sticking with the quarterbacks, Brady has redone his deal. There's an extension, avoidable years to follow. Again, it's a case of Tom, in some ways, taking less. But how is less more when a quarterback restructures his deal? And there's even talk in Kansas City that Mahomes is about to do the same to aid the Chiefs situation. And did you ever have to go to Brett Favre or anybody on your roster and present them with, you know, a choice? Can you restructure to help the team? We're in a situation where we need to move some dollars around.
Well, I always tried to stay away from that. On the second part of your question, I'm most proud leaving Green Bay with Brett Favre only having $600,000 of dead money because I resisted the temptation to do that.
Yeah.
It doesn't take a genius. I always say this in my cap column at Sports Illustrated. You and anyone listening could do what they're doing, cap people. You know, go to a player with a big salary, turn it into bonus, spread it out over future years, create short-term room, but take a long-term hit. That's easy. The best managed cap teams don't have to do that. They don't need to go to players and restructure. And the other myth about this is that somehow players are making a sacrifice, like Mahomes or Brady. They're not. They're getting the exact same money. And in some cases, they're getting better cash flow. For instance, if you have a salary or restructuring, you may pay some of it now in March. So instead of the September to December. So there is no sacrifice for players other than having to go to an office somewhere and sign a contract. I mean, so let's get that myth out of the way. Now, Brady's a whole different case because, as I've said for 10, 15, 20 years, somehow, some way, the Patriots got him to take under-market deals. It has nothing to do with the cap restructures.
Right.
He's taken $15 million when top quarterbacks are making $20 million. He's taken $20 million when top quarterbacks are making $30 million. Now in Tampa, he's making market value, and even more with this restructure. So that's a whole different issue.
Andrew, just, you know, looking down the road, what would you think is maybe the biggest challenge or hurdle facing the NFL? I mean, they have labor rest for, I think, the next 10 years. They were able to agree to an extension in the CBA. You know, I think a lot of the player safety issues have kind of come and gone, and so that doesn't seem like a big issue. Is it these TV deals, the way people consume, you know, football and the changing kind of attitudes around that, is Is that going to maybe be the biggest challenge for the NFL moving forward, is just on how to hit these TV deals? Because people are just, let's face it, they're changing how they like to watch the game.
Yeah, Ted, you just kind of identified why it's so great to be an NFL owner, even in a pandemic. I know they're suffering short-term losses. Revenues went from $16 billion, I believe, to $12 billion. Listen, franchise values keep going up. They've got a team-friendly CBA for 10 more years. These TV deals are going to go crazy. If you had to ask me, I think you identified it. And I'll say it in a different way. The number one challenge for the NFL and all sports leagues is simply this: how to maintain and attract younger viewers. Younger viewers, because all these leagues are skewing older, and they're always going to get guys like us. But are they going to get the young generation that has so many content options, so many, and is used to clips? I think it's unfair to say younger generation won't stay with a game for 2 hours or whatever, 3 hours. I just think they have so many options. And the Nickelodeon wildcard game was brilliant. Brilliant. The more things like that, the better the NFL is going to be.
Go ahead.
Andrew, very quickly, you've been on both sides of it. These next few days, you get the legal tampering period and then the start of free agency, and then there seems to be an avalanche of signings. How do you sum up what is it like on both sides of the table, whether you're faxing out a proposal or you're on the receiving end?
Yeah, I mean, again, I think there's going to be 10 to 12 every year, forget pandemic or not, 10 to 12 golden ticket winners. And for them, you know, the agent's in a great spot. He's basically setting an auction. And we're not going to have visits like we used to. So it's like, who's got the best option? And you develop relationships with agents from the team side. Like, just tell us, are we in the game? And they'll say, yeah, and we need more bonus, and this team's higher than you. And you have to trust them. For other players, they don't have as much leverage. You got to really be tuned in as an agent, because if you're not in this golden ticket group, it's going to go fast. It's really going to go fast. The musical chairs portion of free agency right after the big deals. So, yeah, teams are prepared, but teams are focusing on their own right now. You know, the key is keeping guys away from free agency. You can do that with the franchise tag, and hopefully, like the Bills did with Milano, do it right before free agency if you can. Otherwise, all bets are off.
Andrew Brandt, columnist at the MMQB, host of the Business of Sports with Andrew Brandt podcast. You can find him at Andrew Brandt on Twitter, and all around good guy. Andrew, it's so good to talk to you. I appreciate your time, buddy, and hopefully I'll talk to you down the road. Thanks for joining us today.
Yeah, thanks, guys. Also, I have this newsletter that comes out every Sunday morning. People can sign up right now. It's coming out in about an hour. Andrew-Brandt.com. Sign up for the newsletter.
All right, looking forward to it. Thanks. I know you have a lot of requests this time of the year. Really appreciate your time.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
All right, buddy.
All right, back with more right after this on the Sunday Football Show.
It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every game. Right now, brand new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks, and all on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. I don't know what you're waiting for. Go to FanDuel.com/Hardy. Make your first bet an automatic win with FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
Off-season like no other for the Patriots. And the Sunday Football Show, Bob Soucy and Ted Johnson will keep you updated on all the latest moves on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
All
All right, welcome back inside our studios. We continue on the Sunday Football Show. Bob Soucy along with Ted Johnson. We just heard from Andrew Brandt talking about the economics of the NFL, in particular the quarterback situation and some quarterbacks specifically. Ted, any reaction immediately for you to any of the points that he made? Honest and informative.
Bob, I thought Andrew was great, particularly the question I asked him about the quarterback market. Does he think it's inflated, or does he think it's just about right? And he thought, that it was pretty much just about right. And he referenced the contract he did for Brett Favre, 20 years ago, being a $100 million deal. I thought his point was interesting when he basically said paying a quarterback anywhere from $30 to $40 million a year should not prohibit you, and is the most overblown narrative when people say that you can't pay a quarterback that and then field a good team around him. That's always been the opposite of what has been kind of sold to the fans here in Boston when it comes to that position, and he just totally debunked that. And that's a guy that knows. He was in the front office for the Green Bay Packers after he was an agent for a very long time. So he knows the inner workings and the business side of the NFL as well as anybody does.
Along those lines, he also, I thought, pointed out the contrast between what Tom Brady had done for years as a Patriot with what he's done in the last few days as a Buccaneer in terms of taking less than market value for so much of his career, as opposed to he's still getting paid. They're just reworking the numbers, and the Bucs are pushing out that bonus over the course of voidable years with this contract extension. He's going to make $41 million this year from the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. So I thought it was interesting, too, to kind of set the record straight when sometimes what we perceive as less really is more, or it's just about right.
No doubt about it. And I thought it was just kind of interesting when I asked him, what the challenges are for the NFL moving forward. They don't have a lot. They don't have a lot of challenges. But just the fact that younger people aren't as engaged maybe in the sport as they want. And, that's something that's clearly not an issue now as far as ratings. But maybe in 15, 20 years, the powers that be are anticipating that being a problem like it is particularly in the game of baseball.
Yeah, he brought up the Buffalo Bills situation and Matt Milano. And here's what I think is the most important development over the course of the last week or so when it comes to the future of the Patriots, again, being atop the AFC East where they have been for so many years. What the Bills are doing right now and keeping their nucleus intact, although they're going to have to pay the piper soon because Josh Allen won't be on that rookie contract. But in the last few days, they have signed Milano. They signed tackle Darrell Williams. They have gotten Mario Addison and Vernon Butler to restructure their deals on the defensive line. They re-signed linebacker Andre Smith. Guys are talking about the culture there in Buffalo. They're talking the way Patriot players used to talk. And I'm not saying the Bills are on the verge of a dynasty, but nonetheless, Brandon Bean and Sean McDermott right now are in a good spot because they have that quarterback on the rookie contract, and they got guys around them who are buying in. They're ready to take the next step. So they're not going anywhere next year.
Yeah.
And then you look at the Dolphins, and we touched on it a bit earlier. This is a team that came that close to the playoffs last year, and they've got cap space, $33 million or thereabouts. They've got interest, perhaps, in signing more Patriots as they did last year. And that's a team that also has the flexibility of having all those picks that if Deshaun Watson becomes available, maybe they are near the front of the line, if not at the front of the line.
Yeah, if you look at all three teams in the AFC East that aren't the Patriots, I feel like all of them are in really strong kind of positions regarding their future. They're kind of in the catbird seat, if you will. And I think part of it is obviously the huge success of Josh Allen and the way he's taken ownership of that team. He's the perfect fit, and I think the perfect coach, Sean McDermott, for that team to build up a culture where the guys want to restructure their contracts to stay in Buffalo.
Buffalo. That's right.
Buffalo. It is hugely important that you have a strong culture there in place. It was so hard to attract free agents. I mean, the biggest free agent they signed was Mario Williams 10 years ago, and it was because they threw so much money at him and they wouldn't let him leave after his visit that he's like, I'm not going to get a better deal. So they had to So you had to do these crazy contracts maybe when because you're the Buffalo Bills. Now Buffalo has got some cachet around the league. Hell, J.J. Watt, targeted them as one of the teams he wanted to play for. So they're turning things around there, and I give Sean McDermott a ton of credit. The Miami Dolphins are turning things around, just the perception of that team. It is not a laughingstock anymore. Brian Flores has got those guys believing in what they're doing, and the fact that they have, I think, the fourth month most money to spend behind the Patriots in free agency is very telling, and they have all that draft equity. And right now, you hear, you know, that's a team that's desirable. Hell, Deshaun Watson targeted maybe or wants maybe to is said that he wants to play for the Miami Dolphins via a trade if he could do that. And then you got the Jets, who have the second most money to spend in this year's free agency, with the second most money in the salary cap, and they have a desired asset in maybe Sam Darnold that they can go draft a quarterback and then trade Sam Darnold, I think, and maybe get a good haul in return. All three teams are pointing, up, if you will, as far as optimism goes with the future of their franchises.
While we're talking about the Dolphins and coming off the conversation with Andrew Brent, there was something else he said. Remember last year the Dolphins signed Kyle Van Noy, Ted Karras, Elandon Roberts, all former Patriots. They were captains for Miami in their first year with the Dolphins. And Kyle Van Noy was recently released. And Andrew Brent in our conversation said it had nothing to do with the cap in his mind. And I thought that was interesting as well. Now, he was due $12 million non-guaranteed this year for Miami. And you look back on the season that he had last year, 69 tackles, 6 sacks, 2 forced fumbles, 2 fumble recoveries in 14 games played. Those are pretty good numbers. And the role wasn't the same, by the way, that he occupied as a more versatile player with the Patriots. Mm-hmm. But he did play through pain. He even commented upon his release that he played through a hip injury. So you have to think about economics. You have to think about the injury situation. But how appealing should he be to the Patriots?
I think it's the perfect guy for the Patriots to go get. They need more depth at that position. You know, I thought Chase Winovich would take a bigger leap in his production this year. Now, he was. He got off to a hot start, and then he got in the doghouse. And, I thought he would be an every-down linebacker. I don't know if he's capable of it, because I don't know how disciplined he is, and I just don't know how good he can be maybe against the run. So Kyle Van Noy is, you know what you're getting. And here's the thing with Bill. He's the perfect guy to bring in, because he's not going to be, you know, demanding the money he got with the Miami Dolphins last year. He's going to come in at a reduced rate. After Trent Brown got all his money with the Las Vegas Raiders, now he's getting Trent back at a reduced rate. I can see Bill going after a guy like Kyle. I don't know if he burned his bridges. Some of the comments he made after he played the Patriots were kind of, it was hard to interpret exactly what he was trying to get at, but I thought he was throwing shade at the Patriots a little bit since he's left. And so I don't know. Former Patriot players have done that and still come back and work with Bill. So that should maybe be a determining factor in whether or not he comes back or not.
You know, speaking of the Bills and some of the players, they have re-signed or restructured contracts with, and Micah Hyde is another guy who's a very pivotal piece of that defense.
Great player.
I think one of the underrated players when you talk about this division and importance to his team. And he's a guy that you're going to have to deal with as a Patriots quarterback. And let's circle back to that, of course, because we opened with Cam Newton, as you would expect. We talked about the Pat situation with him, his contract terms with Phil Perry. You know, Ted, if they're going to bring in competition, it's going to be interesting to see how it unfolds, obviously. And if Cam Newton is in a competition with a veteran quarterback, if somebody becomes available that Bill Belichick covets, I'm not going to mention any names, but I think people can think off the top of their heads, one in particular who's currently on the West Coast. And there's no guarantee that anybody's going to come here via trade or free agency at this point, obviously. There's no guarantee they're going to get the guy that they want in the draft. But if there's competition, I think there is still flexibility with his contract. If we see some of the same issues that plagued him last year during training camp, and I think a lot will be better. And it goes back to that question Charlie Weiss asked last week, you know, will it be good enough? And if it's not good enough, you know, are they in a situation where there's enough flexibility that the Patriots could move on? And some people believe that there is. What are your thoughts?
I don't see that. I think that's the Patriots kind of putting that out there so that, you know, it mitigates maybe some of the backlash and the criticism that they're inevitably going to get with the signing of Cam Newton. Hey, you know, look, this is, you know, this isn't our final plan. It's just kind of part of the plan, and we have flexibility. We can still make decisions. Here's the thing. I don't think Bill's going to trade for a guy. Or I don't know what other free agent quarterback out there might.
See, I think the free agent market, I don't think the class is very good.
Other than Ryan Fitzpatrick.
And we don't know what kind of money Ryan Fitzpatrick would want either.
He's going to get more than what Cam Newton got, I think. I just don't think Cam is going to be okay with being a backup. He said recently in a podcast a couple weeks ago, he doesn't think 32 teams are better, or 32 quarterbacks are better than him. You know, there's a lot of quarterbacks that are better than him, but he thinks he's still one of the best in the league.
Yeah, and I know people have this perception that Bill doesn't like to spend money, and in some cases the Patriots don't spend as much as other teams, the value versus cost, but they will cut losses. And I pointed that out to you, and we talk about the Michael Bennett situation.
This is a good point I thought you made.
You know, Bennett was a guy that they traded for. They gave him a new contract, a 2-year deal, $4 million signing bonus. After a handful of games, it was apparent that he wasn't a fit here. Probably apparent before that because his snap numbers went down drastically during that season in 2019. And 6 games into the year, he's traded, and they eat a substantial amount in dead cap money in 2019 and 2020. In fact, roughly the same in one of those years as they would have to eat if Cam Newton is no longer on the roster once the season begins. And again, we're projecting way ahead,
yeah,
and we're getting too far ahead of ourselves. I am, at least. There's a long way to go. We're going to see how it shakes out. But I do think that even with this contract, when you talk about in comparison to backups around the league,
that it's a below market value contract, for backups.
There's still a lot of flexibility for a team that really doesn't have any salary cap issues. They've got less than $1 million in dead cap money.
So
right now,
if they cut him, essentially, I think they'd be on the hook for $3.5 million in dead cap money. So it's kind of, I don't know. I just, for some reason, I don't think they, even though you bring up a really good kind of comp, you know, well, they were able to, they swallowed $4 million of Michael Bennett and never got anything close out of him that they wanted. But the quarterback position is very different than the playing D line. That's the only thing.
And look, saying all this, I hope he comes in and plays great. I hope there's nothing better as a broadcaster than to tell the story of a comeback, is there? I mean, I know that from experience in Super Bowl 51.
Love it.
So I hope he plays great, and I think he does, you know, the circumstances last year, a lot was working against him, as we've talked about. I'm with you, too. I think the draft would be the best of the ways to go because you don't want to be in this position again in a year or two.
Nope. You want to,
and even if you get a Jimmy Garoppolo, for example, you could be in the same position down the road in the very near future.
I don't think there's any way they're getting Jimmy Garoppolo, even though you can afford him. I just don't think the two salaries the Patriots want to put that much into a quarterback position. I really don't. So the only option I see is through the draft. And if you go get a guy in the first round, Bob, it will kind of calm people down around here, I think, about the Cam Newton contract.
Time will tell. And time tells me.
I'm looking forward to this
time
week, though. We're going to have a good show next week. It'll be fun.
Hey,
next
this
week.
Is good. Thanks so much.
You bet, Bob.
For Ted Johnson, I'm Bob Soucy. Stay tuned. The Sunday Service with Christian Arkin coming up. Thanks again to our guests, Phil Perry and Andrew Brandt. And, of course, to producer Tom Morgan. Have a great Sunday, everybody. So long.
Playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every game. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. That's $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. What are you waiting for? Visit FanDuel.com/Fred and make your first bet an automatic win. FanDuel, America's number one sports book.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every single game. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. guaranteed. That's $150 win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks, all on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. What are you waiting for? Visit FanDuel.com/Stewart and make your first bet an automatic win. FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.